God is good. Who loves Operation Christmas Child? Let's just give God a hand for that ministry. Woo, I love it. Man. So today's a special day. We're wrapping up a sermon series, but we're also stepping into God's commitment for 2018 for a lot of us here in this room. We've been talking about this good sense, common sense, C-E-N-T-S. God, how can I handle my finances in a way that honors you? Now, before we do that, this kind of sermon, this kind of topic takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of faith to preach on money, I'm here to tell you. And it takes a lot of faith for us to be able to sit and to listen and to allow God into an area where most people aren't comfortable allowing God to speak into, let alone allow the pastor to speak into. So I want to tell you that I come to you this morning as a man who oftentimes has huge faith, but when it comes to the Ohio State Buckeyes, I did not have any last night. So I'm here to just be human with you and confess to you that I turned the TV off with 6 minutes to go. Now, don't fear, because I had it recorded, so I knew if they'd come back, I'd be all right. But I had to wait to see if they won before I was going to watch the rest of that game. So you can just hurl it. Pastor, you just have a, you know, you have a faith issue. I'm here to testify. I indeed do. I still have some growing to do when it comes to faith. Yeah, go Bucks. O-H-I-O. That's right. Well, we're looking at good sense principles and the way that we handle money. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, we decided that less is more, and that's a biblical principle. And last week, we discovered that for sure giving is good, because it's better to give than it is to receive. Amen? And so today, we're going to discover that one of the great stressors of our life is a bad thing, and that's financial stress. As a matter of fact, stress in and of itself is a bad thing, and my heart was feeling it at about 6:30 last night. And the heart started pumping and the chest started hurting, and you think, this is not good. I need to change what I'm doing and watch Everybody Loves Raymond rather than watch the rest of this game. You know, when we think about financial stress, you never hear things like, you know what, my marriage would be a lot better if I had more debt. You know, we never hear things like, you know, those high interest credit cards, they just bless my family so much, we ought to get a couple more. You know, every night you go to bed, you're not thanking God for the debt. You're not waking up in the morning praising Him for the debt that you feel on your chest and the weight of that. You know, many of us actually wish that we could give more and help more people, but we're not able to. We wish that one of us could stay home, either the mom or the dad with the kids, but we're not even close to having that as an option because of our financial stress. And we wish that we would not have this stress of fighting all the time. We wish that we could travel more, but there's just no way because the financial stress in our life is just so great. And financial stress is a bad thing. And what's sad about finances is so many people have no idea really how money works. Think about it. How many of us had a financial education class when we were in high school? By the time we graduated high school, we had no idea how to handle money. It was just based on what we saw from our parents. You can graduate college without having a course on how to handle money in a way that will alleviate stress in your life. It was amazing to me in Austin's senior year as he would come home and describe one of his classes to me. And the more he talked about finances to me, the more I realized they were teaching Financial Peace University curriculum in this class that he was taking at Maysville. And it just blew my mind. The words that he was using, the language that he was using, I'm thinking, hey, son, that's Dave Ramsey stuff. He says, yeah, we're talking about that in school. And it blew my mind. It's so important because most of us will get to college never having that significant conversation with an educator or with a parent or family member. And what happens is we go off to college and you go to spring break or you go to Christmas break or even on your campus in between classes, somebody will be offering you a free t-shirt or a free pizza if you sign up for what? If you sign up for a Discover card or a Visa or MasterCard. I'll give you a free pizza. You're thinking free pizza, free t-shirt, and then you look at the credit card and you're like, hey, free money. Free money, and we have no idea the idea of what payments look like and what interest looks like and how interest accrues. You know, when you go car shopping for that new car, they don't give you the bottom line price of what it's going to cost. They always ask you one question: where do you need to be in your monthly payment? And you don't know what you're going to end up paying at the end of that 72 months. We have no idea what a 19% rate on a credit card might look like when we're making minimum payments over the time to be able to pay out on it, or what 72 months looks like on a car at 10% interest rate. And we don't realize that we throw thousands of dollars away, and a lot of that has to do with the financial stress that we feel. You know, financial stress is not a good thing. And we wind up learning the hard way. And that's why it's so hard for us to talk about this. Because everybody in this room has probably made a financial mistake. We've all made a poor purchase. There's all been a moment where maybe we're a little bit embarrassed to be able to even talk about it. Or we just simply lack understanding and we're ignorant. And because of that, we're ashamed and we don't want to ask too many questions because we feel like, well, we might look silly in doing so. Or we're just so overwhelmed, we'd rather just put our head in the sand and not deal with the feelings of helplessness and hopelessness. One of the things I want to suggest to you today is if that's where you felt in your life or that's where you are today, you are in good company because we are not perfect here. We're a group in a room of broken people who have made mistakes but have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And by the blood of Jesus and the words of our testimony and the power of the Holy Spirit, God can set you free and he can set me free financially. Amen? So let's dive into God's Word. Get out your bulletin outlines in your bulletin, or you get on your smartphones. There's instructions on how you can go to the YouVersion Bible app in the events section and see it there. Welcome to those that are worshiping with us around the world on our internet campus. God is good. Let's just dive into Scripture. We're in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. It's a verse of Scripture you've heard me preach on before. I'm going to say it again. God's going to say it again. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Now, I'm here to tell you, there is nothing about slavery that is comfortable. It's not a blessing. It's not fun. It's not good. And that's why stress is bad, because slavery is bad. And guess where our stress comes financially? When we're in debt. Why? Because God calls it spiritual slavery. When we owe, we are actually in bondage to the one we owe to, according to God's word. And that's why less is more. That's why stress is bad. That's why giving is good. And I'm going to pray that God opens our heart to speak into our hearts today because he wants something better for you. He wants something better for your children. He wants something better for your children's children. We live in an area of the state of Ohio that battles generational poverty. And it perpetuates itself generation after generation after generation. And it is heartbreaking. And God wants to help us today get out of bondage so that we can be a blessing to help other people get out of bondage. And we have got to get this right. So not only that we can eliminate the financial stress in our life, but so that we can eliminate generations of financial stress. I mean, imagine what it would be like to be stress-free. Imagine what it would be like if Jesus took the yoke of fear and worry off of your shoulders, of financial slavery. Imagine what it would be like if you no longer had financial stress. You know, something breaks and it needs to be repaired. You're not freaking out. Oh my gosh, how are we going to be able to pay for that? Or you pay financially for that thing. You pay money for that thing that you wanted to buy and you don't have any payments when you buy it because you pay cash. And the person that you know that says, you know what, I need some help. And you know now you're able to help them because you're in a good financial position to be able to be used by God to bless people. And then you finally know, hey, listen, I get to live in joy and practice the biblical tithe, which brings a satisfaction financially like no other financial principle when we give to God according to the way he commands us, and you just find yourself blessed. Isn't that a better place to be than living in financial stress and bondage? In Luke 16, verse 10, the Bible says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And so when we live with integrity, with what God has given to us, and we entrust it back to God, it's actually a form of worship that serves him and honors him and pleases God. We can please God with the way that we handle our money and all that he's given to us. Because all that we have is really provided to us by God. God is the great provider. And yes, while we worked for it, God gave us that job. While we've worked for it, God gave us that talent and that ability to be able to get that job. And so it matters to him how we honor him with what we have. And when our hearts align to God spiritually in every aspect of our life in a joyful surrender, it's easier to get things right on this physical earth and in this physical world. When we're right with God spiritually, it helps us physically in this world. So we're going to pray three prayers today. Three prayers to pray when we're getting out of debt. And they all have to do with, Lord Jesus, help me. Come on, God. In the power of God, we can get this right. In the power of humanity, we go to banks, credit cards, and lenders and loan places, and that's how humanity helps us financially. As a matter of fact, you can even refinance your financing. And then you can refinance a year later what you refinanced, and you just continue to go into debt. God's solution is better than that. We're going to go to God for this. Number one, here's our first prayer. God, give me self-control. Oh, help me, Jesus. Who's ready for some self-control? Who's ready for God to do a heart transplant and a mind transplant when it comes to the way that we handle our finances? The Bible says in Proverbs, like a city whose walls are broken through. Picture that. Like a city whose walls are just broken through and overrun is a person who lacks self-control. And if you are in a city in your life without walls and you have broken down self-control in your life, you are going to be massively vulnerable to the lies and the attacks and the pull of this culture. You are going to be massively overrun. Your heart is going to be overrun with the worldliness of what the world tells you and how to live and how to spend and how to save, which basically comes down to more is better. If I had more money, if I had more stuff, then all would be well. If we're honest, you know, let's just put it this way. We all have a two-year-old living inside of us. We really do. We all have a two-year-old toddler living inside of our heart and our spirit that's connected to our heart. Now some of us, while we all have a two-year-old living in us, some of you actually have a two-year-old. You have a two-year-old grandchild right now. You have a two-year-old son or daughter right now. And you know what two-year-olds are like when you go to the store. You know, you're going down the candy aisle and in their cart and they lose their minds. Oh my gosh, I want candy, I want that toy, and I want it when? Tomorrow? I want it right now. And when they don't get it in the way that they want it, what happens? They throw a tantrum. And you want to know what? We might be 45 years old like me or whatever age you might be like, but we still have a two-year-old child living inside of us. And that two-year-old inside of us, when it comes to our finances, that we want it now, we believe that that's all we can have, that's all we can see, and until we get it, we're not going to feel any better about who we are. We need to discipline that child in the name of God. In the name of God, before that child runs amok and runs our finances amok, God, give my two-year-old some discipline. Lord, give me some self-control. Give me some self-control. How does this play out? Well, ladies, let me talk to you for a second. Maybe it plays out like this for you. You know, there's two words that just set your heart on fire, and that is clearance and sale. Yeah. Clearance and sale. And they don't have to come one before the other. It could be sale and then clearance, because when there's a sale and then there's clearance on top of it, then you just got to have whatever it is. It doesn't matter whether you can use it or not, because it's a clearance. So you walk by the clearance and the sale rack, and you become vulnerable. And so we're going to try to convince ourselves on how much we save by how much we spend. I gave this illustration last week, but again, you know, you go to Kohl's and you spend, you know, you buy things and you get things and you walk up to the desk and they make it sound like you saved money. They tell you saved $141 on your purchase. They circle it on your receipt. Yeah, but you just spent $85 on stuff you don't need because it was on sale and there was a clearance experience. Or every time you go to the store, ladies, you're buying trinkets and stuff in the name of your kids and your grandkids, and you don't really need it. And so every day, 5 days a week, while it seems like a small purchase, over time, you nickel and dime your finances, and it adds up and eventually can possibly sink the ship. Now, let me talk to the guys for a second, because guys, you don't get off easy either. You know, guys, rather than just sink the ship over time, we just blow it up all in one purchase. That's just the way that guys are. You know, you just decided that was the day you were going to buy that boat. Or you're gonna buy the Sea-Doo or the side-by-side, or it's time for a new firearm or a sporting good thing or whatever it might be, tree stand, bow, or you know what, we just need season tickets to whatever it might be. And so you just kind of blow it all up in one instance. Lord God, give me self-control. That's a prayer. We need it, God. Give me self-control. Last year we sold our camper, and I can tell you, I would just love to replace that right away with a bright new shining fifth wheel, but we just decided, you know what, the finances aren't there for that right now, and so we're going to put that off. We may have to do a year or two of staycations, going to Grandma's house in Cleveland or going to Grandma's house in Dayton. I don't know what it's going to be, but we've just decided, you know what? Lord God, give us self-control. And it's hard. I confess to you that it tugs at my soul, you know, the idea of spending and acquiring and those kinds of pieces. And so we all have to come alongside of each other in the name of God and say, Lord God, I've got this two-year-old inside of me. Give me self-control. We got to learn to say no, so that we can say yes to the rest of our lives. Now, maybe for you, let's get practical. Maybe for you, you like to get your nails done once a week, or you like to have a $4 latte every morning, or you love to play golf 1 to 2 times a week. We got to learn to say no for a little while. We got to learn to adjust practically our financial habits. Maybe we play golf once a month. Maybe we decide that we're going to make our own coffee before we leave the house. Maybe we'll decide that a 10-year-old may not need a smartphone, and we need to hold off for a year or two or maybe 6 months and just say, you know what, maybe not right now. Maybe we're going to decide we don't need unlimited data. Maybe we just need unlimited face-to-face friendships, you know, rather than needing to spend the money on unlimited data, because that sounds like such a good idea. And rather than going thumbs to thumbs with people, we're going to go face-to-face with people. Maybe you like that new car smell, and today you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to buy a used car. in this instance. And I might still have payments, but they're not going to break the bank. You know, for our family personally, we don't eat out a lot. We don't buy big gifts for each other come Christmas, typically. We try to buy a vehicle. We always buy used cars. We pay off our credit cards at the end of the month because we're not satisfied with debt. And if we do have a payment on something, whether it's a house or a vehicle, we're going to do everything we can to get out from under that payment and get that paid off. We're just not satisfied with debt. And we're learning along the way, too. So no matter how old you are, it's never too late to start now. No matter where you are in your life, it's never too late to start right now. Say no and practice and pray to God. Oh, Lord God, give me self-control. Dave Ramsey said, if you live like no one else today, then one day you can live and give like no one else tomorrow. And so we're going to live in a way that's countercultural today so that we can live in a way in our future that's financially free so that God can set us free. Second thing we're praying for when it comes to our finances, God, give me understanding. Oh, Lord God, give me understanding, because many of us don't know. We're ignorant. And some of us, we just don't want to know. I mean, we look at our finances and our bills, we just rather bury our head in the sand, and that's what we do. You know, we don't pay that off, or we don't pay this off. We don't get serious about changing our financial habits because either we don't want to or we don't know how to. God, give me understanding, because in Hosea, the Bible says, my people are destroyed from a lack of what? From a lack of knowledge. God, give me wisdom. Give me understanding. We honestly don't understand financing, and when we don't, it can hurt us financially. Because again, generally there are two questions when you buy something large, a vehicle or a television set or whatever, is how much down and how much per month? How much down and how much per month? We don't share how much it's going to really cost in the end. And if you look at the idea of high interest credit cards, you know the average person that has a debt on a credit card is about $16,000 a year? Just on the credit card. That doesn't include car loans, student loans, a home loan. That's just consumer debt. The average person, if they do carry debt from month to month on a credit card, is about $16,000. And so let's talk about compound interest and how it can work for us or against us, just for a few examples. If you owe $16,000 and you pay $250 monthly on that at 19% interest, it will take you 40 years to pay off that $16,000 debt. And in the meantime, you'll wind up spending roughly over $100,000 just on interest alone. That's how it works against you. So after you pick your jaw up off the floor in that moment, you say, you know what? I'm not going to have that. I can't have that debt. Instead, with that $16,000, if I invest that money today and I don't add anything to it over the long run, and I know these are inflated numbers, but just hear it for a second. If you get a 12% IRA on $16,000 over that 40 years, you'll have $1.5 million in 40 years. That's how it works against you, or in this case, for you. Now, do you think your life would be different if you didn't charge that coffee or that round of golf every single week on your credit card? It very well could be. How about 90-day same as cash? I love that whole idea of 90-day same as cash because it's just, it's a bait and switch piece, okay? Because if you don't pay that thing off within 90 days and have it completely paid off in 90 days, guess what happens? You owe interest on the whole thing. It kicks in on the 91st day. And so while it seems nice to defer payments and get that television set today on 90 days same as cash, if you forget about it or if you don't have the money to pay for it when that 90 days kicks in, the entire interest is owed for the entire purchase. And it's a high interest rate. It's probably 20% in some cases. And so a $1,000 television set is now all of a sudden a $1,300 or $1,400 television set. And now we didn't have the money to pay the $1,000. We certainly don't have the money to pay the extra $300 or $400. And we wind up throwing away money and don't even realize it. And so one of the opportunities that Financial Peace University offers is how compound interest can work for us or work against us. As we learn more things about our finances, we can become better equipped to live a more stress-free life when it comes to our fiscal lives. You know, when you come to Financial Peace University class, one of the things I realize is that everyone who comes to that table, everyone's bringing their challenges. Everybody's bringing their struggles. And there's going to be laughter around the table. There's going to be cheers. There may be even tears. But we grow together when you attend a Financial Peace University class. And we offer one on Thursday nights right now. And we'll start up a new one probably at the beginning of the year. But help me understand, God. Help me understand. There's so much to know. I want to honor you in what you entrust to me. Our third and final prayer, God, give me a plan. God, give me a plan. God, give me self-control. God, give me some understanding. God, give me a plan. It says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. You know, when you're faithful with what you have with God, when you work a plan and you give that plan over to God, when you're prayerful about your finances and you allow God to speak into your life, you wind up doing it better. You wind up getting ahead. You wind up working smarter. And you get God's results in your life. If you don't ever take your finances and hand them over to God, how can God bless you and help you with your finances? Think about it. You know, we're spending money like water. We don't ever give any of it to God. We don't ever think about putting any of our fiscal life into God's hands. And then when we're in a hole, we go to God and we say, God, rescue me. And God says, I don't have anything to work with. I don't have anything to work with. And so what happens is sometimes we get human results because we don't plan and we turn to haste in our humanity when it comes to our fiscal lives. You know, we go for retail therapy when we feel sad. We go for retail therapy when we feel depressed or even bored. When we have a midlife crisis, what do? We don't go to God. We go to Lowe's. Or we go to the car dealership. Or we just wing it. And it's always just based on the need for more money and more stuff when you don't have a plan. Now, you can wander and stumble and mistake your way into debt, but you cannot wander and stumble and mistake your way out of it. It really requires a plan. We need a plan spiritually and biblically, filled with God's principles and word when it comes to money. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, it says, Paul writes these words, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside what? A sum of money in what? In keeping with your income. That's why it's always percentage-based. It's not an amount. God doesn't name an amount. He just says it's based on percentages. He says evaluate your income. What do you spend? What are you going to save? What do you have coming in? What do your bills look like? And give accordingly to that. You know, from your Financial Peace University experience, if you've had it, and if you don't, Financial Peace University will give you a plan. And it starts with an emergency fund. It starts with the idea of making sure that you have no less than $1,000 in cash on hand or in your bank account. You have this emergency fund, and you need to do whatever you can to get to that $1,000. And you're going to sell anything that you have in your life. You can name your cat eBay if you need to. You sell the cat if you need to. May not be a bad thing after all anyways. You may need to work overtime until you're able to put that buffer away. Why? So when an accident or an emergency comes, you have something to draw from and you're not going into debt for it. And then you start attacking your debts and you pay off the smallest debt first because it gives you a sense of accomplishment when it's paid off. And then you take the payment once it's paid off and you snowball it and you add that payment that you're paying on that to your next debt. And now you're able to increase the payment on your next debt, and quite frankly, it'll be gone sooner than you know. And then in the process, you decide, I'm not going to accrue any new debt. And then you work to set aside 3 to 6 months of living expenses, and you learn to invest for your future, all while you're practicing God's biblical tithe, because it's the greatest investment you can make to be set free financially, because when you give, you tap into the power of God to help you with your finances. And when you give, it forces you to look at your financial priorities in ways you've never looked at them before. When you give, it stretches you, and you look at your spending habits rather than putting your head in the sand. Giving forces you to pull your head out of the sand, and you're going to learn to give your way out of debt. That's what Aaron and I have done for years, is we've given our way out of debt. How do you do that? Practically, you honor God with like a 10-10-80 plan. The first 10%, in that model, you get to live on 80%. 80% goes to all of your expenses. 10% of it goes to savings. And the first 10% of it goes to who? It goes to God as the biblical tithe. It's not ours, it's God's. We don't give it, we bring it. Because God says, don't touch it, it's for Him. And so we bring it to the local church as God's design to reach the world for Jesus Christ and to also teach us discipline so that we can become a better disciple. Do you notice the root word of discipline when it comes to disciple? In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. He talks about the idea of planned giving. God speaks on planned giving, planned saving, planned debt reduction, and planned spending. So when we do that plan, it leads to a planned blessing. If we will plan our spending, plan our giving, plan our savings, God promises it will lead to a God's planned blessing in our life. God says you can count on it. God is going to honor our faithfulness when we get serious about a plan that honors Him with our biblical finances. His promise is supernatural.
It's a supernatural blessing that in ways are far greater than a financial return. But God can help you get back on track financially. He can. He's God. He can do that. I'm not promising it to you, but it is possible. It is within the realm of God to bless you and to bless your finances. I can tell you this. You can be guaranteed that God won't bless your finances if you give nothing. But when you start to give, you'll discover just how God can multiply that in your life and do amazing works to help you get healthy. So we're going to work to get out of stress, and we're going to work to get out of stress by getting out of debt. We're going to pray for God to provide for us as we honor Him. We're going to watch the blessings overwhelm our work and overwhelm our plan, and our prayer is going to give us self-control. Our prayers are going to give us an opportunity to learn more about what we need to know about when it comes to interest and how it works for us or against us. We're going to pray to God about giving us understanding through things like Financial Peace University and building relationships with other people. We're going to pray to God and say, God, give me a plan that honors you. And we're going to honor Him with what He's given us. And then we're going to watch Him bless it all the rest. Isn't that amazing? We're gonna give God that first 10%, and we're going to trust Him to bless the rest. And I just know this. I know 10% in God's hands is going to be far better financially for me than 100% in my hands. I can tell you that right now from personal experience. A couple of action steps for you. Number one, talk with your family about the state of your finances. Talk about your family with the state of your finances. Number two, take Financial Peace University. I think we have another class that starts in January, February. Come out right now on a Thursday night, even though they're halfway through the class. You can come out and experience what it's like and see the blessings from it. And then you get a chance to sign up for it in January and February with TJ, and he'll help you walk through that. Third, take the 90-day tithe challenge. We've been talking about that. You know, just decide to tithe and give, and don't add it up. And trust God for that 90 days. Give the first 10% of everything that comes in. And if you're not financially better off, if you're more stressed, if things are rockier financially for you more than they ever have been, we'll give you every dime of it back at the end of that 90 days if you come to us and you've been giving in an accountable way. Because we want to test God in our finances. God invites us to test Him. And it's kind of a money-back guarantee that we want to give you so that you can experience what it's like to give and the blessings that come from being a giver. Fourth and finally, I want to invite our ushers. I know our ushers have either a green card or a yellow card. Could our ushers begin to hand out these green cards? You only need one of these cards per household. One of these cards per household. And as they go ahead, let's pass them out now, please. As they pass these out, these are our joyful surrender estimate of giving cards. And this is our opportunity to stand before God in our local church and to do this together. We're gonna do this together, and we're going to honor God together with what we have and what we've been giving. And so these are our opportunity to commit to God as we've been praying, Lord God, what percentage of my income are you calling me to give to you? And so I want to encourage you to get out a pen even now, and I'm going to give you time. We're going to fill this out together. And so as the card is brought into your hands or put into your hands, there are a couple of options to check off on the box here. You see, we don't do this because the church needs our money. We don't do this because God needs our money. God can do anything He wants to with whatever resources He has. We don't do it because the pastor needs your money. We do it because we need to give. And it's changes the heart of the giver. It's a spiritual discipline. And so here are a couple of options for you to check off in the box. We plan to step up and, first of all, give beyond the tithe. Our desire is to do more than God's minimum. And so maybe you've been giving the biblical tithe, and you're going to check that off. And that's the next step for you. Maybe you haven't been giving it, and you're ready to step up to that. That's the box for you to check up to. What is the next step in your giving? Maybe your next step in giving is, I've been giving the biblical tithe, and I'm ready to step up beyond it. And that's the first box. The second one is, I will tithe. I will give 10% of my or our income to God's storehouse, as given to us in Malachi. And in that moment, we're going to say, you know what? I'm going to step up to do God's minimum in that moment. I haven't been there. That's my next step when it comes to giving. Or maybe you're ready to check number three. I'm going to continue to work toward tithing. Maybe you're at 2 or 3% or 4%, and you're like, you know what? I don't know if I can bite off the whole chunk. That's fine. Take God's next step in your giving and whatever that might be. Maybe you're going to check off, I will give an offering. And you're just trying to figure out where you are in your giving. You've never even considered this before. And you're just committed to kind of giving an offering. And then ultimately, what here in this sentence is what we encourage all of us to fill out. I will estimate our giving for the coming year, and it's going to be how many dollars per week? How many dollars per week? Whatever that is for you. And be stretched. Allow God to take you to that next step or that next level for your own personal discipleship. Okay? So that's the opportunity to talk about God's biblical tithe into the storehouse, into his general fund, so that it can be given and distributed out into the community and world in his blessings. Now, only if you're at the biblical tithe level in your life and you're giving the first 10% in the local church, do I want to encourage you to go on to burn that note. Everybody, we want to have you fill out your information at the bottom. But on this next one, burn that note. This is only for people that are practicing the biblical tithe and are called to give above and beyond. This is not shifting what we would normally give to the general fund and to give to the Burn That Note capital campaign. This is just simply, we want to give above and beyond. And some of you have been giving to the capital campaign for years, and we want to continue to encourage you to do that. And so here, would you check that off if you're ready to do that? And we're going to say, our household, we're going to give this amount per week toward the church being debt-free in 2020. And again, this is above our normal tithe. It's above and beyond giving as an opportunity to graciously stand before God and say, God, this is my commitment to you for 2018. I want you to notice as you fill out your information here, at the bottom it says, this commitment may be revised or canceled at any time at my request. Our goal is to not create more stress. Our goal is to give you a stress-free experience and allow God to pour his blessings into your life and to challenge us to be stretched in our giving. And whatever we put down on this card, I pray that it's a stretch for us. It's not what we would normally do or usually do. It's God's next step in our life to be stretched and to watch him work and move. And so as we fill these cards out, we're going to be playing a song and some music here. And I want to give you the opportunity to bring your card up, and we're going to pray here in a second, and to place it in this basket here at the altar area. We'll be taking up God's normal tithes and offerings here in just a moment, but this is just simply for our card. Would you prayerfully consider this as we begin to play music now and bring your commitment before God? There's something about walking up and standing and walking up and saying, God, this is my commitment. Let's do this together as a church. This is not as a group of individuals. This is as God's church. And let's place it in this basket.